I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wyler from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome onto this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's awesome to have you with us once again. It is time to share another one of our fly on the wall coaching calls, almost like an over the shoulder look at what we do here at coachparry.com. And I'm super excited for our next guest to join us. He's actually a returning guest. We spoke to him probably just over a year ago here on the podcast, and he's made some incredible gains over the last 12 months. And we wanted to share some of those with you today, but also help him get even faster. I'm talking about Jeffrey Abrams. I'll put the link to the first podcast in the show notes to this one. So if you don't know much about Jeffrey, you can go back and listen to that one and get his sort of backstory. But in today's podcast, we're going to talk about how Jeffrey went from a 3:15 marathoner to a 2:53 marathoner in just over a year. I mean, that is phenomenal. We'll put a plan together for Jeffrey to help him target a silver medal at this year's Comrades Marathon. We'll look at the lessons that Jeffrey took out of his Comrades 2019, where he missed a silver medal, and some of the things that he's learnt from that experience. We'll look at how to improve your running form and approach when running up and downhill. We'll take a look at how to even out your body's running biomechanics and imbalances. We'll talk about heart rate and what spikes in your heart rate mean. Is it interference or should it be something that you worried about? And we'll also discover the two secrets to Jeffrey's running improvements as he's gotten older. He's heading towards 50. He's 47 at the moment and literally in the last month ran a 2:53 marathon, which is phenomenal. So if you're getting on like I am and you're wanting to know how to get faster as you get older, this is one podcast you do not want to miss, okay? Something else that you don't want to miss before we get into that call with the coach and Jeffrey is our next Comrades Marathon training seminar. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks as we record this. You can register for it right now if you head over to coachparry.com/webinar. The link is in the show notes to this as well on the podcast player you're listening to. You can just click through and make sure that you are registered. We're going to have Lindsay as well as our resident strength and conditioning coach, Shona Hendricks, on that webinar as well, talking about the importance of strength training, particularly for the Comrades Marathon Downrun. And don't go anywhere either. At the end of this podcast, I'm going to share another success story on the podcast from Vikram Varma, who's had a great experience with us over at coachparry.com. And don't forget, if you'd like to run as well as we know you can, all you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join, grab yourself a training program. You get access to our entire team of coaches. There's a dietitian, as well as a community of runners just like you that'll keep you motivated and hold you accountable. That website to get to once again is coachparry.com/join.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Brilliant to have you back on another coaching call. It's probably been close to a year since you were on the last one, and a lot has happened. So good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lindsay, and happy Valentine to you. I'm great.
Thank you. This is obviously pre-recorded, so by the time people hear about this, they will probably have long forgotten Valentine's Day, but thank you. All right. So let's talk a little bit about your run. When you came onto your coaching call around about this time last year, what was your PB for a marathon?
My PB for a marathon, it was a 3:15. And I started the program in 2018, September.
Cool. And now, as you sit there in your chair, give us your age and your new PB.
Okay. My age, it's 47.10. So I'm turning 48 in 2 months' time on the 9th of April, just before it goes. And marathon PB, it's 2:53.10 seconds.
Yeah, so Jeff, I'm going to ask you just to turn your camera off because we're having some sound issues there. But I'm quickly just going to summarize what you said for the benefit of everyone listening. And that is that your 5K PB is now sitting at 17:34, your 10K at 36:38, your half marathon at 81 minutes, marathon at 2:53. So that is down from 3:15 to 2:53. Jeff is now finishing regularly on podiums in the veteran category, and he will be shortly be standing on the top step, I'm sure, in a number of masters podiums. Right. So, Jeff, what is your main goal for this year?
The main goal is still elusive silver at Comrades that I'm looking for. That's the cherry on top, because I have all the PBs except the 56 in Two Oceans, but that is it's not a major, because I believe that I can still run a 4:15 easy comfortably in Two Oceans. So that will be a new PB for Two Oceans itself, as I've ran my 2018 Two Oceans at 4:23. So yeah, my main goal is achieving Comrades, and the time that I set for myself for Comrades, I know it's quite steep. It's a 7:10:10. So I work that out. Maybe if we can discuss that, because I had a look at the splits based from 10, 21, 32, and so on. Whether will I be able to do that? And as far as up to 56, for me to be able to run a 7:10:10, I should be averaging at 4:46. So maybe if you can guide me on that, whether is it doable? And I know what what was my mistake on Comrades 2019. So maybe rectifying that as I've started doing that during training as well. So yeah, that is my focus.
So the simple answer to your question is that absolutely. So if we take your marathon time, which incidentally your PB was set at altitude, and that is significant because you know, when we drop down to sea level for Comrades, we will be at an advantage there. But based on your current marathon time, you are in line for a 7:12 at Comrades. And I think that with a little bit more training between now and then, factoring in the altitude and having a discussion now around what mistakes you think you made at Comrades, I think that 7:10 is definitely worth going for. And I think the most important thing with going for that 7:10 is that because it's so close to where your potential is, you're not risking a massive blow. Of course, you know, Comrades being Comrades, you may not quite hit your target. You may come in at 7:15 or 7:20, but that'll be okay because your primary objective will be achieved, and that is a silver medal. So yeah, I'm very comfortable with us now discussing how to get you to that 7:10. So maybe that's a good place for us to start. And that is, last year going into Comrades, you were a marginal sub 3. Had you at that stage, I don't think you'd run your sub 3. You ran your first sub 3 at Cape Town Marathon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's correct.
Cool. So going into Comrades, your marathon time was?
Going to my marathon time was a 3:08. That was the best in January in Johnson Crane. Cool. And yeah, it was a tough one with double hamstring, calf muscle pulled. And yeah, so
I actually remember.
It was a struggle.
And when you went into Comrades, what was your plan to go through halfway?
You know, Lindsay, I think there I went into Comrades. I thought I had a plan. I mean, I got the armband, the timing armband. It's
yes.
It didn't work for me. I couldn't understand it because it's backwards. So I know I had a 450 pacing plan in place to average that, to say at least by 60K, I shouldn't be worse off than 450. But I started consecutively too slow. By the time I wanted to pick up, my leg couldn't just go. I could barely do a 505 average pace. And I knew then at about 40K that I'm not going to make silver. And I just ran to finish. And I knew that if I get a sub 830, I'll be okay. So, and then I came back from Comrades with a plan that if I want to average a certain pace for a race, I start the first 3K with that average being achieved. From there on, I can start on a negative split, just come down to the pace and then build up from there. For example, it will be, for example, if I want to run a 4 minute per K pace, as I was planning in Cape Town on September, I started at 350 for the first 3K. And then from there, I just hovered between 402 and 4 minutes per K, which at the end of the day, I got, I think it's a 404 average overall. So it's been working for me for the last, I would say, 30 weeks or so. So I've been achieving that. So I'm just perfecting that, or trying to perfect that going to Comrades.
So look, I think you are, your strategy in the race is obviously sound. And I think your best chance of running well at a race like Comrades is being as consistent as possible in terms of pacing from the beginning to the end. So from that point of view, I'm happy. And I think closer to the time, we do need to just discuss exactly what that means, because it's very difficult to keep that in mind at Comrades, because that means you're going to kind of be thinking kilometer after kilometer after kilometer after kilometer, and by 60Ks, you're going to be mentally exhausted from working that out all the time. So you work out the route, and you will know that it's not so much about the physical pacing in terms of, okay, your goal might be to run close to 450 per kilometer as the average over the whole race. That would mean that on the down run, when you leave Pietermaritzburg, well, the race will start and the first 2 kilometers will be faster than that because you're downhill. The next 2 kilometers will be slower than that because it's an uphill, but by 4 kilometers, you'll be close to the average. Then we will hit Poly Shorts, and you'll go down Poly Shorts, down Little Polys, and those will be much quicker. But then from there till 25Ks, and that's a really long stretch of about 15 or 16Ks, you will then be quite a lot slower. But it'll be the 450 effort. And that's the important thing, is the effort that you use. So, yeah, I mean, if we look at your race and your race splits last year, you did in fact go through halfway very close to what you needed to for a silver. But I think at that stage, you weren't quite the runner that you are now. And so, yes, expecting a negative split and having had the hamstring issues and not having done the complete training, I think last year you just didn't quite have the right mix of strength, fitness, and speed. Whereas this year you've got more than enough speed. You've got the experience. You aren't over racing, so you're picking your races carefully and nailing them. So I think at Comrades race day, your pacing will be spot on. Mentally, you'll be ready. This is the only race that matters for you in 2020.
Yeah.
So I'm predicting that you will finish between 7:10 and 7:15. All right. Any other questions you've got around the training, preparation, anything that's been on your mind before? Let me lead you, and then I do have a question for you, but that's what I want to end off with.
Okay. There's just one thing I want to ask. It's in connection with the uphill downhill running technique.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of downhill. I'll take uphill any given day because of my cycling background. But I found out that I tend to struggle a bit going downhill. I'm now trying to avoid limiting my speed going downhill, as well as not to overexert myself instead of hitting my calves and my quads going downhill. But I tend to approach uphills in four segments. For example, when I approach an uphill, if I'm doing a 440 going up to uphill, I reduce the pace to say about 455, even to 5, the first 25% of the hill. Now, approaching halfway of the hill, you literally feel it in your lungs that you're getting more air in, and I tend to go much faster, not the 440, but say 445, 450. Obviously, the 75% to the 100% of the hill, it flattens out, you plateau again, you go back to your 440, even slightly faster. So that has been the approach. But if when you are on the incline and it drops tremendously, that's where my challenge comes in. You know, I run as if I'm sitting. But I just want to hear from you the technique, because, you know, I try to watch videos of people running downhill because I tend to learn more on my heels than on my toes. Yeah.
So the best technique for running downhill is to shorten your stride considerably and increase the frequency of your stride. So even if you do that, even if you do land a little bit on your heels, you greatly reduce those impact forces. Now, if it's a very steep hill, it's so difficult not to lean back. And in fact, I would go as far as say that it's not possible. Otherwise, if you lean forward into a steep hill, your legs will start spinning out of control and you will be forced to take really big strides. And then that is what really hammers your legs. On a more gradual hill, you can take much smaller strides, you can lean into the hill, and you can land more on the forefoot. And those much smaller strides will control the speed. So it will, it will slow you down. But the very important thing is that those very short, quicker strides mean that you're getting much less impact force through the quads in particular, but also the glutes. And that is the best way to run downhill. Obviously, if you're running in a race, like a shorter event race, you would still follow that technique, but you would then open your stride and be able to push yourself down. But when you're doing marathons, in particular ultras, really it's about using the downhill to run that little bit quicker, but it's about making sure that you don't push down that hill and hammer your quad. So you just shorten up that stride, increase the frequency, and float down the hill. And look, me and you both, my legs get really sore when I run downhill, and this that I've just told you now makes a big difference for me.
Yeah, okay. The other question, Lindsay, it's in the balancing of the left and the right. I'm using the Garmin heart rate monitor strap, which picks vertical oscillation, left and right balancing. Mm-hmm. I've watched myself. I asked a buddy of mine to record me when I was doing the progression run, which is, by the way, a new refresh on the revised program for Silver. And I had a look at how I run when I'm running fast. I tend to tilt on the right, and I pick that up that, for example, I'll be, say, 51% to the right and 49% to the left. What can one do to try to get as close as possible in running balanced.
So one of the things that we have to consider is that to safely run on the road, we have to run on one side of the road. So typically that means we're on one shoulder or the other. So that's the one thing that'll impact, because roads are designed to be slightly convex so that the water runs off the road and doesn't pool on the road. So that does mean that when we're running into traffic, our inside leg is hitting the ground earlier than our outside leg is hitting the ground. And that in turn means that there's going to be a difference between left and right balance. So the first thing is obviously, where possible, running on very quiet roads where you can almost run in the middle of the road, or if there's a nice shoulder, particularly like a gravel shoulder, that sometimes helps. But we all have slight differences, and those differences are often linked to difference in strength between left and right, and or difference between flexibility in left and right. So strength training, and in particular doing single leg type of exercises like single leg squats, split squats, and step ups. Those are the type of exercises that help to strengthen to create that balance. And then there are more extreme causes of this, which may or may not be present. But if you have a slight curvature of the spine, or if you have one hip that's slight torsion because you've got a very tight hip flexor, for example, those will sometimes also cause that left and right imbalance. But one of the ways that you can also combat the left and right balance in terms of the road is, again, if you're on a safer stretch of road, you can run out and back on the same side of the road. So in other words, you don't cross over to run into oncoming traffic. But you need to be very confident that it's a very quiet stretch of road. It's a safe stretch of road, because particularly in South Africa, that is not a safe strategy for fixing that imbalance.
Okay. Right. Maybe the last one will be from me. It's the erratic change in the heart rate. Assuming that one uses the chest strap.
Mm-hmm.
Normally on training runs, easy and long runs, I try to run between zone 2 and 3. Unless it's a recovery run, I just got one just to run on zone 1. I was amazed. But on tempo runs, progression runs, and time trials, you tend to be on zone 4 and 5. I mean, you tilt to the red zone. But you find those spikes, like yesterday when I was doing the progression run, I think my max is at 330. I struggled to get to 330. I was hovering around 333, 335. But I found one spike where my heart rate went to 180, where supposedly my max is supposed to be 172. But one is not too concerned about those. But when it starts to happen on easy runs, what could be the cause? Assuming that the battery of the heart rate monitor is fine, that you are not using the wrist-based heart rate, what could fatigue play a role?
So look, this is a great question, and I'm going to give you a answer which will answer your question in particular, but just because our heart rate is such a common question, I just want to answer it in full. So the first thing is, because of what type of run you are, because you are so aerobically strong, your maximum heart rate probably isn't in the 170. So an age predicted heart rate max for someone like you really isn't much use. And the only way we'll truly know your maximum heart rate is if we do something like 5 times 3 minute maximal efforts, or if we stuck you on a treadmill and did 1 minute increments of pace until exhaustion, where you fell off the back of the treadmill. But so importantly, your max probably isn't in the 170s, and it's highly likely to be in the low to mid 180s would be more appropriate, I think, for someone of your ability. Although the heart rate strap is much more accurate and much more sensitive to your changes, it's way better than wrist heart rate, it still comes with some limitations. So when you get situations where your max is completely at odds with the average, so in an interval, or when you're doing your progression run would be a good example. If it's steadily climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing, and then there's this one outlier and then it comes back and it's climbing, that's probably interference.
Okay.
And you've either gone under a telephone line, electricity box, cell phone tower. So there's all sorts of things that can cause some very short-term interference. And because we're moving, it's interfere and it's gone. Okay. If it's climbing steadily, 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 but it's still climbing with the increase in intensity, and then when you get to that 330, which is very fast, by the way, that's the same point as when you're running at your fastest. It's also where your heart rate is at its highest. Then that's probably a fairly accurate reflection of what your heart was doing at that point in time. On the easy runs, it's even more likely that you've run past something that is interfering, especially if it's something that happens and it's there for a couple of seconds and then it settles down and goes normally, goes normal. There are examples where some people, when they start exercising, their heart rate goes up very high and stays there, but as you continue the exercise, it comes down. Now, those are things that are potentially an issue, and if that sort of thing is happening, then we do encourage people to go and see a doctor, have your heart checked out, make sure that there isn't something funny happening there. But yes, if it's these random little spikes along the way, almost certainly interference. And what you probably find if you go back and look, because our easy runs tend to be on the same routes, you go back and look, you'll probably find that they're spiking at very similar places along the route.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. No, that's cool.
Awesome.
I think that's from us. That will be it. You said you had a question for me.
Yeah. So I want you to tell the listeners one or two pieces of advice that you feel have gotten you to make such a big improvement in your late running career.
One, it's consistency. As much as you sometimes you don't feel like you have to go for a run, you have to do it because you listen to your body. Week in, week out, you don't have to run fast. You can alternate to say the first week of the month, if you have a pace range of 4:30 to 5:10, this week you can say, I'm going to club 4:30s. The next week it might be 4:45s, and the following week it might be 4:50. The other one will be much slower, the 4:50. You don't have to raise your training every time. That you have to monitor. Secondly, it's sleep, recovery. I mean, if you know you have a long run on a Saturday, especially those ones that we're getting into now, the 4:45, 3 hours. I mean, on a Friday, it's a rest day. Try to get to bed as much early as possible. You know, and after the long runs as well, if you can get away by not taking your wife to the mall, you know, you give your credit card and you stay home and just sleep. Because I found out that sleep, you recover much quicker. It's amazing what the body does to itself. I mean, those are the two things for me that I don't compromise on: consistency in training and my rest days and recovery. So I think it works best for me.
Jeff, that is amazing advice. People probably won't believe me, but I did not prompt Jeffrey at all with those answers. But if he ever decides to retire from his day job, we will have a job for him at Coach Parry. That is absolutely brilliant. Gold advice. Jeffrey, thanks for joining us on this call. You are a very active member in our forums. We look forward to interacting with you there. And I really can't wait to see you walking around with a silver medal around your neck at Comrades. Good luck with the training and speak soon.
Thank you. Thank you. I much appreciate it, Lindsay.
How cool is that? 2:53, man alive, that is fast. Jeffrey, we are so proud of you. You have no idea. Well done, mate. Someone else that we are extremely proud of and something we love doing in the Coach Parry Online Training Club is celebrating success. And we've been able to help thousands of runners over the last few years achieve their goals. And Vikram Varma is one of them. He said, first full marathon, mission accomplished. Hi, Coach. First off, thanks to you for the amazing training plan and running advice. I was training for my first full marathon and you suggested that I follow the sub 4:30 training plan. Trust me, the race was brutally tough. I did my LSDs and they really helped. The strength training too, I feel, was beneficial. However, managed in 4:33. I'm super excited to have nailed my first full marathon in style and have also qualified for Comrades 2020. Woohoo! Vikram, he says, I'm so happy and excited. Thank you to everyone at Coach Parry for all the support during my training. Vikram, you're most welcome, man. 4:33 for a debut marathon. Hats off to you. That is superb. Well done. You've done the work. And you know what? With experience, and anyone who's run multiple marathons will tell you, the last sort of 8 to 10Ks are always tough. But with experience, the more marathons you run, the better you get at managing that. So 4:33, targeting a 4:30, to get that close to your goal first time out is superb. So well done to you. And don't forget, if you'd like to be part of one of the most interactive running communities online, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. We've got athletes here in South Africa. We've got in Australia, the UK, right across Europe, North America, South America, the works. Come and join us. All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join.